Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I had a bit of a manic Sunday, actually.
Do you think it was Monday?
Dog starts kind of murping.
Oh, boy, does that's
he
not gets, good.
Goes to the end of the bed, he kind of goes, rrr, rrr, rrr. He's ready to go out in the morning. I look at the clock. It's 4:30.
Oh, no.
Ooh, I'm going, you're never up during the week, dog.
Oh, no.
Why are you up on Sunday at 4:30?
4:30? So what happened?
I got let him out.
Let him out, yeah.
But I was like, it's cool if you do this during the week. It's fine.
Sure it is.
It saves everybody else. You know, you get up at 4:30, go outside, go to the bathroom. You're done. Then you can go back and lay down and not wake up anybody else. Never up with me. The dog's never up with me at 4:30.
So much for sleeping in on a
Must
Sunday.
Must have been big diarrhea
time. No problem.
Josh
no
can
problem.
Fall back to sleep. It doesn't matter. It'll be ambulances and fire trucks going on.
You
Josh
just
is asleep.
Start an airplane noise and I'm
out. Done.
Just give me an airplane noise. Yeah. It was fine. But yes, good. It was one of those moments like, oh, it's not Monday.
No.
I could have handled Monday. It would have been fine.
Yeah,
you
sure.
My double alarm. It would have been cool.
And at 4:30, you'd been all kind of in a panic mode too. My God, it's 4:30 on Monday. I gotta go.
It would have been fine.
Did you start getting dressed for work yesterday?
No,
Sunday. Okay, that's good. At least you knew it was Sunday. There's nothing worse than that moment where you get up on the weekend and you think it's the weekday and you start going on with your morning and you're like, oh, wait a second, it's Saturday. What am I doing at 4 o'clock on a Saturday getting ready? Our dog has been like that though too because she
stepped
wants to get
over
up.
Both of them on the way out this morning.
Yeah,
neither one dead to the world.
Moved, right?
Neither one of them moved.
Neither moved.
Nope.
So our dog got up about 3 o'clock this morning, which is like the worst possible time to get up because it's like
just before the alarm.
Just before the alarm goes off. And, you know, so the dog gets up at 3 o'clock. My wife is refusing to let her out. She's got to learn. I just let her out at 11. So I finally get up about an hour later and I go downstairs and here comes the dog with me. And she was so excited to go outside. Like she's like trying to grab me to open the door to let her out. So I let her out. I go back upstairs to take my shower. And my wife goes, did you leave the dog out? I said, yeah. She goes, so now I'm supposed to go let her back in? I go, well, I'm not standing down there and waiting for her. I'm going to get in the shower and take my shower and be ready to go. I don't need to stand down there for a half hour or however long she's going to be out there scratching around trying to take a dump at 4 a.m. So, yeah, you're going to have to go let her back in. I hate to say it, but sorry.
No, we got it worked out.
Well, wait till I'm done and I'll let her back
we
in.
We can pee about the same amount of time.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. So it's
stop, drop, and roll.
So, yeah. So it's dog goes out. I can saunter to the bathroom. I could pee, and then we can usually meet. Sometimes, if they're doing the two, maybe it's a little bit longer.
A little bit.
Usually try to time that out.
So my wife went and bought like those pads or those pee pads for inside the house. I'm like, this dog is like 3 years old now. How are you going to train the dog to start using these pee pads in the middle of the night? Because we don't want to get up and let the dog out. I think it's going to be a disaster. I don't know how you train a 3-year old dog, right?
Stepping on pee pads in the middle of the night. night.
Dogs, dogs got to figure out the peeing hours is what the dog's got to figure out.
Exactly. Yeah. And so she's trying to retrain the dog. I mean, the three-year-old dog is, what, 21 in adult years. At 21, are you retraining yourself how to use the potty?
No.
You're just hoping not to pass out and pee yourself.
Yeah. Maybe that's what the dog's doing. Mm-hmm. he's in the pass out pee yourself mode.
That's right.
Might be what it is.
Can't handle it anymore. I got to pee. So good luck to my wife for trying to teach her how to use these pee pads now, because I know it's something I just don't want to deal with.
I just never trusted those.
Yeah, right. Those are the other things, because it's going to seep through.
Well, not that, but then, like, are you for sure they know it's the pee pad? Or is every, like, square that looks like that look...
That's the pee pad.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
There's a square over there.
Yeah.
Ah. No, that's the
doormat.
Drop a load.
Yeah, that's the doormat. No. So,
are they scented? Do they smell like something?
I would guess there's probably something.
I mean, like, there's got to be a way to tell them, right? I know my sister lived in an apartment building one time, had a dog use those pee pads because they were up and, you know, you couldn't take your dog out all the time, so you had to use them. But, I mean, other than that, I've never seen anybody use these things before. So I'm really anxious to see if it's going to work and how long it's going to take and how much money we've wasted on pee pads.
If it gains you more sleep, maybe it's
worth
it. Maybe.
We'll see.
Ours are, it's just the weekend. The weekend, they're
schedules
out of whack. Are weird.
Yeah. Everybody's schedules out of whack
during
the weekend.
During the week, they're fine. They don't pay attention. I get up, I shower, lights are on.
They don't move.
They don't move.
Nothing.
Sunday,
don't care.
Sunday, ready to go.
Yeah, ready to roll. Let's go. It's 4:30. Gotta pee. Get up.
I mean, chances are I gotta pee too, so it's fine. But you know,
not at that time.
Not quite. Binkley, I think, was up peeing at 4:30 too.
I don't know if he made
was
it
he?
Up. Yeah,
we
poured him into a cab at about 5 o'clock on Saturday and sent him home.
He didn't make it all that long.
I had apparently 12 or 13 beers by 5 o'clock. Geez. I was told.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a little bit of a mess. I ended up meeting Binkley. My wife and I went up to Cinderblock after we stopped by the Torn Label Brewing Company and had a couple of beers there with Thomas and saw some good friends there. Raffy was not there, which was very disappointing. I was hoping Raffy would be there. The owner and founder of Torn Label, one of the great brewmeisters, is that what we're calling? Mm-hmm. One of the great brewmeisters of Kansas City, and really helping put Kansas City on the map from a beer standpoint. And so we had a couple of beers there, and then went up to Cinderblock. My wife found out Binkley was up there at Cinderblock, and of course she used to get drunk with Binkley in college all the time. And so she's like, I'd like to get drunk with Binkley one last time. Okay, fine. So we go up there. I don't know why one last time. I'm sure Binkley will get drunk whenever he wants with my wife, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. And so we went up the cinder block, and there he was, and boy, was he happy. Binkley was having himself a day on Saturday. And so about that 13th beer, he didn't even make it till Nivens arrived before they were pouring him in his buddy's car and taking him away. Thank goodness Binkley has a friend of his that was a former KCBO cop that was willing to supervise Jay all afternoon. Jay's like, let's go up now to Liberty. And they got, nope, we're taking you home,
nope,
man.
You're done.
Yeah, days
you're
over.
Done.
Yeah. It is time for you to go.
I just remember getting the group, because we got the group text on it, right? Everybody kind of fanned out what different places got the group text.
Yeah.
And I looked at the text and I looked at the time and looked at the text and I'm like we kind of just started.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock, right?
Yeah. Like we had a couple one place and we're at service and we were moving on to Crane and I'm like, yep, they just poured Binkley and it was I think that's what it was. Binkley has left the premises, I think was the text.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And I was like, wow, it's like 5 o'clock.
That's
like, okay,
well,
he probably
guys.
Started at 11. It's probably okay. But a big thank you to all the participating brewers. For stepping up. Great response from everybody that took part, or even people that didn't take part. I know I've heard from a lot of people that they're like, that was a really cool thing.
Sure.
That these guys did. And I said, yep, absolutely it is. So big thank you to all the local brewers who stepped up for Beers for Bank. You can still, I think, buy the t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cody's got the link on his Twitter feed at Cody Tapp.
I've tweeted it out as well, so you can find it there. Maybe a little easier. I don't tweet as much as Cody, so maybe closer to the top.
You can find the link to the t-shirts. You can still do that as a way to contribute as well. Nice t-shirts, got all the beer logos on the back and everything. So Pretty cool.
So, it really, thanks event. To all the breweries too for getting involved and doing something like that. And every person that you talk to at a brewery, it seemed like kind of had that same story. And I know Thomas and I talked to Torn Label a lot. He goes, we're asked to do a lot of stuff for people from a charitable standpoint, and we do, and we're always very happy. But Binkley's like one of our own. He was one of the first real believers in the craft beer scene here in Kansas City. So they were really excited to help out Jay Binkley and give him the opportunity to get some money to help pay his medical bills and whatnot. So that was a lot of fun to see all the brewers kind of rally behind him. But you said you started a little late. We went to lunch about 1 o'clock and then went to Torn Label about 3, and I was home by 6. But Binkley, like 5 o'clock, man, you just get the day going. And Binkley
was
there,
and Binkley was on. Binkley was on.
Done. Yeah. Last person I thought would be done early was Jay Binkley, but he worked yesterday morning too, Josh. Not only did he go out on Saturday, absolutely have himself a day, he was in here on Sunday morning talking Chiefs.
Well, that's
right?
Good, because he got to bed early. So
he definitely got to bed. Probably woke up feeling great.
He didn't stay out late.
Refreshed and rejuvenated.
Yeah, ready to go. Take on the day. Let's go talk Chiefs,
me
baby.
Another.
I also thought maybe I was drinking. The Melvin Ingram rug got pulled.
It did. Oh. Yeah.
So according to reports, he is going to sign with the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
The hell?
Yeah, I don't know. Where did this come from, right?
Was counting on you.
Yeah, I was too, a little bit. But maybe that's why they gave him that offer, you know, that had a draft pick attached to it, because they knew he was going to get more from somebody else, and at least they were able to get a compensatory pick out of the deal. And they go with that route, and they get a pick in next year's draft. But now you look at the defensive end position, and I thought it was a hole all along about the defensive line. And I think you were probably counting on Mel coming back more than I was into this one. And you were kind of like, yeah, I expect him to be back. And I thought in the back of my mind, maybe he would. If somebody's going to offer him more money, maybe he, you know, at the end of the day decides to go there. And clearly Miami did. But even if you were counting on Melvin Ingram or not counting on Melvin Ingram to come back, regardless of where you were on a fan on this one, there's no question now the Chiefs still have a hole at defensive end from a depth standpoint, and they're probably going to have to go out there, Josh, and do something that I've been really against for a lot of years now, and that's adding that random street free agent who's sitting around eating, you know, Flaming Hot Cheetos and drinking Mountain Dew right now and playing Nintendo video games. Like, I'm not a fan of adding those guys in, but from a depth standpoint, maybe there's an undrafted free agent the Chiefs can find. Maybe there's a trade they can work out with somebody, but I think at this point in time, you still need to go out there and find a way to strengthen that, not just the defensive end position, but that entire defensive line. I still think that thing is a work in progress, and I don't think it's a complete product that we're going to see on opening day in September. The good news is there's time, but the bad news is one of your options is gone that you thought maybe you could have here in Kansas City.
And I think they need to dip into the, yeah, as you mentioned, the street.
Yeah, the street free agent.
And Melvin Ingram was my targeted street free agent, right? I mean,
sure.
he was probably pretty affordable. I can't imagine he was going to command a lot of money. And you saw him perform already in your defense.
Mm-hmm.
It just made sense. Like, he wouldn't be your ideal guy to go out and get every year, but in this year we understand they're probably a little bit short. It made a whole bunch of sense for him to do it. And, I don't know. I was working into the guys that he was going to be there. I really don't want to be in the the latest Jadeveon Clowney spot, but that may be where you're in. And
he may
actually command more money than Melvin Ingram would.
Sure. Well, but now you're kind of in a rock and a hard place.
Right.
Jadeveon
Clowney's
going, you need me more than I need
now
you,
you
right?
kind of drive up, but he's kind of, kind of mercenary for hire at this point in time. I don't know. I there's not a lot of great names out there, but you might have to dip into that. You wouldn't normally do it kind of move. Just to get one more body in here.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to. I think, and it doesn't have to be a high-priced veteran guy right now. Like I said, if there's some undrafted free agents that you're out there, maybe you open up the competition.
Now, see, I'm in the old man category. Get one vet.
That's fine. All right. I can see that, yeah. But my biggest concern with Mel, though, was, is he going to come back? Did we see the best of Melvin Ingram?
Sure.
And that was a big concern that I had. Like, we really, you kind of hit it and quit it type of thing with a lot of athletes, right? You get the most out of them. You maximize their talent. Maybe you only had half a year with them, like, a Johnny Cueto or somebody like that. We probably got the best we were ever going to see out of Johnny Cueto here in Kansas City, what he did in the playoffs. You move on from a guy like that. And I think that's kind of where Melvin Ingram was for me. I thought maybe we saw the best of Melvin Ingram, and over the course of a 17-game schedule, maybe we're not going to get the same Melvin Ingram. We're going to be left cursing Melvin Ingram, you know, at the end of the season and going, God, why do we sign this guy back? But yeah, now they're kind of between I don't want to say a rock and a hard place, because I think they'll figure it out. But from a depth standpoint right now, man, it is go time along that defensive line. They need to get better along that defensive line if they want this defense to work.
I don't know if it's a Trey Flowers, it's a Jadeveon Clowney, it's a Justin Houston. I don't know. But it feels like you're kind of in that mode.
You got to go.
Got to go get one of those guys. You can do the undrafted guys too, sure, and whatever, but yeah. I feel like you need a name there.
You feel like you need somebody just to make everybody kind of feel a little bit better. Yeah, I know that guy. I know that he can play. Even though he may be old, he may be, you know, long in the tooth type of deal. Yeah, I mean, I can see it. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape, but, you know, it's something that I don't normally like to do. But this is a situation where you may have to do something that's a little bit different.
I was counting on you,
Mel. Right? Yeah.
It's a number change, but not just a number change for Nick Bolton. Next.
Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio. Imagine that.
National Barbecue Day, so get on out there, fire up that grill. Just don't dare post a photo of it.
Do not post a photo of what you're cooking on the grill today at all.
It's not smart.
Nuh-uh.
It doesn't lead to nice thumbs up and smile emojis or anything like that.
No, it just leads
to ridicule.
Yep.
Not a safe space.
It is not. No, it is definitely not. Why are people on social media such bullies when it comes to grilling?
I don't know, but they are. They are bad.
I mean,
bad.
It's terrible. There may not be a worse group of bullies, you know, on the internet for adults than like grill bullies, right? I mean, anytime somebody posts something that they've grilled, there's always some jackass who has to comment of how you did it wrong, right? Instead of just saying, oh man, that looks pretty good, they've got to weigh in and tell you why you did it wrong. Well, you used gas. You didn't use charcoal. Why'd you use charcoal? Why'd you use a flat top? How come you didn't season it properly? It's cooked too much. The outside doesn't look good. The inside, like, it doesn't matter what you do. Grill bullies, especially grill bullies around here, because everybody thinks they're an expert here in Kansas City when it comes to utilizing the grill. Grill bullies are the worst, and you're a horrible human being if you're bullying somebody on social media because you don't like what they're cooking and what it looks like.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, found that out over the weekend as well, as he posted pics of what supposedly was Wagyu beef.
It looked like tuna, though.
Look like Wagyu.
You know, I'm not grill shaming.
No,
but if it's Wagyu beef, it's pretty costly, right?
I would imagine,
cut of meat, and it looked like a steak tartare. I mean, it did not look good. There was a lot of pink in the middle, right? It looked like tuna.
That thing was still mooing.
Yeah, it looked like tuna. I don't know what he was doing, but he got skewered, pun intended.
Yes.
That one I was like, okay, you probably should have asked for tips before you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, that's the way to go about it. Here's this very expensive cut of meat. What do you guys think?
How do I prepare this?
Right. Because it didn't look good.
Number one is don't put it on frozen, first of all. I think we can get right? It didn't look like he thawed that piece of meat at all.
It was looked like a ruined piece of meat, unfortunately.
Sure, sure. But I don't understand why people do feel the need to kind of wade in there and tell you no matter what you do, it's wrong. Have you ever posted anything? And BW, you do more cooking probably than Josh and I. But have you guys ever posted anything that you made food-wise and you thought it was pretty good? And then it didn't get criticized by social media telling you did it wrong or telling you placed the meat at the wrong angle or whatever the case may be. People just love to criticize everybody else's grill game.
Yeah, I'm always hesitant. You know, I spend a lot of time, you know, on the smoker. But, you know, I have to double check and triple check and make sure it looks good. Okay, what is somebody going to pick out about this? Do they see a little too much caramelization there? What am I going to get slammed for?
Yeah.
And, naturally it happens. And I'm getting ready to post a couple pictures on Twitter. you know, just to see what kind of grill shaming I'll get.
Sure.
You know, I'll, I'll tag you.
Throwing some test balloons on you? Oh, I like it.
I'm going to tag you and you and Fesco in. I'm about to send it out here in just a second. But, you know, this is just a... you know, what I think is great, but, you know, we'll see what comes with the grill shaming.
Sure, yeah, the grill shaming, man. There's no shortage of grill shaming. And quite honestly, like, it's embarrassing. You're kind of a loser if you're out there grill shaming somebody, quite honestly. I mean, it's just like you really woke up in the morning, looked at somebody's picture, and went, I can do better. Good for you, pal. Good for you.
913-576-7610. What have you butchered on the grill?
Yes.
Not what have you cooked perfectly.
What have you butchered?
What have you messed up today for National Barbecue Day? 913-576-7610. You can weigh in on that all morning long.
And that's been one thing that's kind of held me back from doing things, because I don't want to waste the money and screw up the meat or anything like that, right? Like, I just don't want to waste that money. And like Mike Florio with the Wagyu beef, like, totally screw up a steak like that. I want to make sure it's perfect.
If you're going to do Wagyu, follow the instructions. Like we talked about before the show, if you're going to do something like that, you have to pay close attention, because you're going to ruin a choice cut of meat. Mm-hmm. And that thing looked like it was completely burnt on the outside, still crawling and mooing on the inside. Yeah. So you just like threw two frozen steaks on the grill and said, yeah, let's flash fry these over the flame.
And that's what it had to have been, right? It had to have been a frozen steak to come out looking like that. Yeah.
I'm no good at steak.
You're not?
No.
No.
I mean, I'll try it and I'll do it, but I'm like, and I'm always worried that it's going to be bad, because the pros are really good at
it. They're really good.
And so if I'm going to have a good steak, why don't I just go and have somebody that can cook it right?
I know. That's the thing.
The steak one, I just don't mess with anymore.
There are so many great restaurants in this town that do it so good.
It's just not worth it on the steak for me.
Because you can never get it with the, you know, like, even if you do like the reverse sear and the pan sear and the butter and all that, you never get it the way a restaurant has it.
They're good at it. So if I'm going to have steak, I'm paying somebody else for it.
Right.
Because if you're getting close to the dollar amount anyway,
sure,
I'm paying for the bump is their expertise.
Right.
To get it right. And have it taste good.
And a side of asparagus.
Yeah, so that's fine. That's fine. So stuff you butchered on the grill, 913-576-7610. Nick Bolton's changing his uniform number.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's twofold.
Okay.
One, he's going back to his college number, which makes a lot of sense, right? Just happens to be 32.
Right.
Tyrann Mathieu's number. And I'd like to think it's also a symbolic change for him. To say, I know I'm young, but I'm ready. 32 is a college number. I think that's probably the first and foremost thing. Oh, my college number is now available again. I'm going to take this back. But two, I hope there's a little bit of extra with that says in Nick Bolton, we got a leadership void now. We lost Tyrann Mathieu, respected locker room guy. I'm ready to take the reins. I hope that's the case.
I think that was kind of the first idea I had. The first idea, actually, I was like, number 32 as a linebacker is going to look awesome, right?
And
it's going to look really cool out there.
Yes, your side benefit is you're going to confuse the crap out of Tom Brady.
That's right.
Which is awesome.
Week 4, baby, he's going to think you're a defensive
correct.
Back, right?
He's going to think Tyrann Mathieu is moving up in the there's Tyrann Mathieu there. Well, no, it's Nick Bolton.
No, it
he's
is
going to come
Bolton.
And hit you. So I hope he confuses Tom Brady, too.
But I also hope he does kind of take that leadership role over, Josh, because when you start to look at the defense right now, it's not going to come from the defensive line. Those aren't usually the leaders, so to speak, of your defense. You want your linebackers to step up and be the leader of your team. I mean, Anthony Hitchens was that guy for so many years here in Kansas City as kind of the leader, you know, of that defense. And I think, you know, Nick Bolton is probably the next guy to kind of step in and be that guy. He's kind of in the middle there. He's the guy that's going to maybe have that green dot on his helmet, do all the talking this year, call all the defensive plays and be that leader. And I think there's a lot of us that just kind of want to see him emerge as the leader of that defense. Because I feel like Nick Bolton is going to be one of those guys that's going to be a long-term player here in Kansas City. You couldn't have asked for a better rookie year, right? I mean, my gosh, the way that he came in and just kind of adapted into the system and became a really good player and became somebody that you could rely on almost immediately. I mean, the guy kind of took over. And so that's kind of the next step for him right now. Out goes the two leaders from last year in Anthony Hitchens and in Tyrann Mathieu. Not only do you take the Tyrann Mathieu number over, but I think you take that leadership role over. And I kind of want my middle linebacker to be that guy that is going to be the leader of this defense, kind of in the center of everything, directing traffic, getting people in the right position, calling the defensive plays, and a young guy that's young enough that somebody you can count on for many years to come. I love where his career is progressing right now. He's got a tremendous career arch going on.
Yeah, I think it's going to work out twofold. I think One is going to, well, you don't have to sell your Tyrann Mathieu jersey if you've already got it.
Right.
You can just put Bolton on the back.
Bolton on the back.
That's another plus. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing it was more so I got my number, but I want it to be more than that.
Right.
And I think he can. I think he's perfect for that spot. And yes, in your heart of hearts, do you want your linebacker to be the captain?
Yeah, sure, I do. Yeah, absolutely.
I do.
You want that guy in the middle being the eyes and ears of everything.
It's DJ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
A Hall of Famer took the mound yesterday for the first time.
Ever.
Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in on a Monday, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler, Brian Williams, B-Dub, producing. Once bought a couple big, expensive swordfish steaks, cooked perfectly, as per directions. Too lazy to go back into the house to get a spatula, but had a fork. Picked them up. They split in the middle, fell on the ground. Dog had them and gone.
Oh, that sucks.
Great evening for the dog.
Yeah.
Give us your what you butchered on the grill. 913-576-7610. It is National Barbecue Day today. Mm-hmm. So we want to hear what you cooked perfectly. We want to hear what you messed up. Since nobody ever points out what you cooked perfectly.
No, yeah, nobody ever messes up either.
But Florio's was terrible. I'm not into the barbecue shaming, except for when it's warranted, because I don't know what the hell that was.
I don't know what he was trying to do there.
No.
Why put that out?
Yeah.
Somebody, he needs better friends.
Yeah. Somebody needs to stop it. So we had a first last night. A Hall of Famer took the mound for the first time.
That's crazy, right?
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
The Hall of Famer being Albert Pujols.
Game in the ninth. He's got two outs. Look out. Gonzalez to right. Albert looking at it. So's everyone else. Albert's given up a homer. Now he knows what it feels like to be on the other end.
But he gave it up to a pitcher.
He's got an ERA now.
So Albert Pujols pitched the ninth for the Cardinals yesterday in a 15-6 win over the Giants. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he was throwing. They were loopers though, and it had the look of a knuckleball, but I don't think he was throwing knuckleballs.
No,
I just think it was just slow arcers. And he did give up a home run to a pitcher, but it was the left fielder who came in to pitch for the Giants. So it was a position player who had a 3-run home run. But Albert Pujols pitched an inning, gave up about 2 home runs, 4 runs on 3 hits, and 1 walk. 27 pitches to get through the ninth. His ERA is 36 as he
36.
Pitched. He pitched for the first time in his major league career. I thought, why the hell not?
Like, you go for
awesome.
It, right? Yeah, go for it.
Usually that's when you're getting drilled. They did it with a lead, and mm-hmm. that was cool. Everybody looked like they had fun with it. I know one of the players got a hit and asked for the ball.
Yep.
I think it was Evan Longoria
asked for
the ball.
Yeah. I got this hit off of Albert Pujols.
Yeah. Jock Peterson was over there, a hand over his face, like trying not to laugh. I mean, looked like both teams had a great time with it. Looked like fun, and you got to see first all time. The cameras were up.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's taking shots. Like, we don't see this every day. I thought the Pujols thing was smart anyway. Like, the signing of him was fine, mm-hmm. and having the reunion was a great idea. And then why not give him a first and let him pitch an inning?
He became the second player in baseball history to hit 600 home runs and give up a home run while pitching.
And he was like,
do you know who the other is?
No.
Babe Ruth.
Oh, wow. Okay. True. And he was the second oldest pitcher to make his debut ever.
Ever, yeah.
Right, someone from like the early 1900s or something.
I'm surprised Satchel Paige isn't on that list, right? The oldest guy to ever make his debut. Because Satchel could still pitch today if he wanted to.
But his debut would have been a little bit younger.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was the second oldest pitcher ever to take the bump. Gave up 2 home runs and four runs in an inning, but they still won by 9. So I guess it was all right.
He almost gave up the lead, Albert. What are you doing out there? Yeah, come on now.
Yeah. He could have pitched the seventh yesterday for the Royals too.
Sure, could have. Yeah, he absolutely could have pitched the seventh for the Royals yesterday.
Was it the
yesterday.
Seventh that they gave up the runs?
Yeah, it was the seventh inning. They had a 6-0 lead. I went up and turned the grill on to get ready to cook some chicken breast last night. Sat back down and they were down 7-6. What the hell happened here in this 5 minutes that I stood up and turned the grill on? We've got ourselves a game now out in Colorado.
Yeah, the Colorado, they should play there more.
Yeah, because they can hit the ball.
I like
there,
that.
Right?
At least you know there's going to be a bunch of offense, so that's cool.
Card with the pitch. Perez with a hit, and it's to line to left. That's a base hit. In comes one. Here comes Isbell, and the Royals take the lead.
There you go. See? Yeah. Took two or three. Salvaged the finale after blowing the lead. Salvador Perez gave him the lead back in the ninth, and the Royals take two of three in Colorado.
The bad part is they're still on pace to lose 100 games this season.
That's correct. That's correct. But I'd play more games in Colorado.
Just
at least,
do it, right?
At least those are just wild.
Yeah, they're
what was
fun.
That, 14-10 and
yeah,
whatever. I mean,
you see the crowds out there, too? Great crowds in Colorado.
Like 44,000 or something yesterday.
I mean, great crowds out there in Colorado. Well, the team's playing good baseball right there. So they go and see a team that's playing some good baseball right now.
Weren't they on a five-game skid before?
Were they on a five-game skid
before
then? Okay.
Before Saturday?
At one point, they were 13-10 and three games over. They must have had a good giveaway there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The crowds look great all weekend there. So looked like they had a lot of fun.
A lot of people from Kansas City. I saw a lot of Royals fans in the crowd as well. It's an easy trip to make, obviously, to Denver. You go out there and see that. That's a fun road trip to make. But man, 44,000, like you said, that's a big time number to go see a baseball game. So hopefully the Royals can figure some stuff out. They've got a homestand with a 27, I think, straight against the White Sox beginning tonight, right?
Yeah. There was a Salvi chance going on, though. Yeah, there was enough Royals fans to make
there
it.
There were Bobby
nice
Witt chants going out there yesterday, too. Yeah,
so
when Bobby hit that home run.
Our Royals fans got good and drunk and got loud, so that's cool. That was cool.
Sure, drunk, whatever you want to call it, Colorado. That's what you call it.
So, they have first of, 18, as you mentioned, I think, against the White Sox here in a row. We don't want La Russa gone, do we?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
all
right. I kind of like that's not going to work, and he sticks around as long as possible.
Yeah, he's good fodder, right? Okay. He is definitely good fodder. Okay. And then yesterday you saw the White Sox lose to Nestor Cortez. I thought that was pretty good as well. Anybody named Nestor that has a mustache like that that looks like he should have been pitching in the 80s just shutting down the Chicago White Sox, I can get on board with that every single day. Yeah. I like that a lot.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, the Star wrote a story yesterday about the downtown stadium for the Royals. And basically now the discussion are two different sites. One of which is in the East Village. The other is closer to 18th and Vine. That the Royals want one and city leaders may be trying to push for another. I think the one makes sense and the other one I don't think the Royals want to be a part of.
No, I don't think they want to be a part of that. And I don't think, number two, it should be on the 18th and Vine area of town because that's not a quote-unquote downtown stadium. And for me, we're doing our baseball trip this week, and we're going to Miami. Not that they have a great downtown baseball stadium or anything like that, but one of the things we like to do when we do these baseball trips is go to a place that does have a downtown ballpark. So when you get there, you can check into your hotel downtown and never have to worry about driving or anything like that, right? You just walk and, you know, do everything like that, make everything convenient. 18th and Vine is not a convenient location to downtown. And if you're going to build a downtown ballpark, they need to do it right. If they do it at the 18th and Vine area, that's not doing it right. That's not giving the city what they need. And that is the final piece of the downtown. And I remember when the Glass family was talking about doing a downtown stadium back in 2002, and the location was going to be like 20th and Grand by the old Cashew down there. And they said, well, yeah, we'd like to have it, but we don't want to be the catalyst for why downtown develops or doesn't develop. We want to be a part of downtown. And now the Royals have that. Almost 20 years later, they now have the opportunity to kind of be that final piece to downtown. And that East Village area, it's funny, we were driving by it the other day when we were on our way to go see Binkley up north at Cinderblock, and my wife goes, is that where you're talking about, like that East Village area? I go, yeah, that's kind of where they want to build the new stadium, just kind of northeast, I guess you could say, of the Sprint Center, in that area where there's just nothing but vast parking lots. It's the perfect spot to put that kind of bow on downtown. It's walkable from places already in downtown Kansas City, from restaurants and hotels, and that's what you want. You want a walkable area for your ballpark. You don't want to have to trek across highways and under bridges and things like that to have people have access to the stadium. And I just think the 18th and Vine district right now is not a location that the Royals or anybody needs to be considering for a brand new downtown ballpark, because at that point in time, it is not a downtown ballpark and it's still divided by the highway. And people, when they go and they want to go to a downtown ballpark and park, that's the whole purpose of it. So you don't have to park and drive and walk and do all that kind of stuff. You just get downtown and everything is there. And so I still think the East Village is the logical location, but you're always going to have politicians kind of get in the way to try to make things happen the way that they want them to, and try to, I would say, impede progress of what the Royals have going with that downtown stadium in that East Village area, which would be the final piece of the puzzle to complete downtown and to make it a 365-day venue for the Kansas City Royals. It's not accessible from a walking standpoint at 18th and Vine.
I think nostalgia, like, it. I get it.
Sure.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
I think 18th and Vine would have some nostalgia to it if you put the stadium there.
Cool. It sounds cool.
What else is there?
Right.
The hotels especially.
Yes.
That's not where the hotel growth is happening. And
right.
It never felt like the Royals, as you mentioned, dating back to even David Glass, wanted to be part of a
renaissance.
Build it and everything else will come.
Right.
Like, if you're the Royals, like, you heard that once before.
Mm-hmm.
They built it and nothing else came.
And 50 years later, and here we sit.
And
right?
It's still that way. So I'd be like, no, I want to go somewhere that's pretty established, but can be a destination place, is already on the road to being that. Mm-hmm. And it just makes too much sense.
And we can add to it. And that's what the Royals want to do. They want to continue to help grow the downtown area, not be out where there's not a lot of growth right now, and to be the catalyst for that growth. They want to join the progress that has already taken place downtown, because what they're going to do is they're going to add restaurants. They're going to add bars. They want their venue to be 365 days a year. And with all the people that are living in the downtown loop and the downtown corridor right now, they can easily walk to all the offerings that the Royals are going to have at their new ballpark in the East Village. It's not as easy to get to at 18th and Vine. Now, unless you're going to dump a bunch of money in and have some sort of mass transit that gets you there and gets you back, and it's reliable and it's an extension of the streetcar and it's something that's going to happen the day the stadium opens, not 10 years after the stadium opens or something like that.
Which might be hard to do.
Right, exactly. But that's really something I can get on board with and I can listen to. But these plans all need to be in place. And the 2026 open date is coming a lot sooner than people realize. That was the date that was floated out yesterday. To me, that's still why the East Village area makes a ton of sense for where the Royals are. And I think that's ultimately where it's going to end up. It's just that people like to talk, like to exchange ideas, like to throw some things out there. But at the end of the day, the East Village location is far and away the better spot for the downtown stadium, because that is a downtown stadium. The East Village is 18th and Vine is not downtown.
Also, you saw a tweet that made you go, okay, really?
Yeah. The tweet was, why do we need new stadiums? I mean, how often are we going to have to discuss this with people? Like, what aren't people understanding right now when it comes to why do we need new stadiums? Have you been living under a rock of what's going on? We've discussed for years now why we need new stadiums. Number one, they're 50 plus years old by the time it's all said and done. And the current stadiums don't generate the money that a new stadium will generate for either of these teams. And that's what it comes down to. The Royals and Chiefs just aren't building stadiums, Josh. They're going to be building entertainment, you know, areas, entertainment destinations. They're going to be building things that we haven't seen before when it comes to our stadium. It's just not going to be a venue that's used 81 days a year for baseball or 10 days a year for the National Football League. They are going to be entertainment venues that are going to be utilized 365 days a year. Plus, when you look at the stadiums right now, both the Royals and the Chiefs, there aren't enough viable suites. There aren't enough ways to make that high dollar fan be able to spend his money, and that's what they want. I know for the Chiefs, for a fact, their waiting list is twice as long as the amount of suites that they have available to sell right now. And so people want that kind of premium seating. The teams want to sell that kind of premium seating. And the modern stadiums that you see today, our stadiums, they don't match up, especially when it comes to that concourse size. Either we're getting fatter or the concourse is seemingly are getting smaller and smaller and smaller still, even after these renovations. They just don't live up to the test of time right now. And so for the folks out there who are wandering around going like they just woke up from a coma or under a rock going, why do we need new stadiums? Just go to another stadium and look and you'll understand why. We're past the why we need. It's now where is it going to be and when is it going to open?
And there's a little bit of keeping up with the Joneses, too.
Oh, no question. And we're not talking Jerry.
Definitely is in the AFC West. They've been to L.A.
Right.
They've been to Vegas.
Correct.
those palaces are glorious.
And you know who's the next team that's going to be banging on the drum for a new stadium? The Denver Broncos are going to be here before you know it, asking for a new stadium, Josh.
Right, when their new owner takes over.
Yeah, when their new owner takes
over. They're probably going to be doing that, too.
I mean, that place is over 20 years old now, too.
There's a little bit of that. And then as much as I love the K, you walk around there and you go,
Yeah, exactly. They don't even have peppers and onions cooking anymore out there. I mean, we don't even have that food option right now.
So you're like, okay, I see what you're missing here.
Sure, a lot.
And believe me, they're going to take both of those stadiums into, that's what I love, is people in Kansas City understand Kansas City, mm-hmm. right? And so you're going to take the best of those stadiums and incorporate them in whatever you're doing. So I'm cool with it.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope the new baseball stadium, and I say I hope it should, have the same sight lines, right? The sight lines at Kauffman Stadium are tremendous. The fountains are tremendous. Anything else other than that, I can take it and leave it. It doesn't matter. The concourses, the concessions, the internet.
I want the scoreboard.
The scoreboard, yeah. But I want one bigger now. We're going new, brother. Let's double the size of that thing, right? Yeah. Make that the world's largest scoreboard again. And so, but those are three things that you took from that stadium. Everything else can be replaced. Everything else can be upgraded. Everything else can be better than what it is right now out at Kauffman Stadium. The sight lines, the scoreboards, and the fountains. That's not a whole heck of a lot to try to duplicate at a new downtown stadium with all the modern amenities. And you've been to more new football stadiums than I have. I mean, you walk around those things, they look like hotels at times, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying there's going to be bottle service and an end zone at Arrowhead. But
don't say it won't.
But they're eyeing these places and going, wow, these are really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's reason to believe Tom Brady's super deal with Fox might not work. And its name is Drew Brees. Next.
Listening to the home of what we learned with Billy Coons.
Legend Ball, he's an expert on the city of St. Louis, but he says the people are rude and hateful and they suck.
Fridays at 9:50 on Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
Happy National Barbecue Day. You can give us your things you butchered on the grill. At 913-576-7610, was too nice out not to grill yesterday. Decided to keep the grill going for meal prep for the week. Good idea.
Yeah, I like that. I do that a lot, too. A lot of chicken goes on the grill on a Sunday afternoon and gets you through the week.
Long story short, 10 chicken breasts were resting on the counter inside while I cleaned the grill outside. Dog got them.
I
am getting takeout this week.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Rookie move.
Oh, no.
I hope the dog's not. Ugh.
Oh, that's terrible.
10 chicken breasts. Ooh.
He was good to go.
Ooh. That's a lot of chicken for the dog, right?
Ooh. Put down the puppy pads.
Now, do you have to feed the dog the rest of the week, or does that take care of it? I mean, what do you do?
Feed something for the dog to get it on.
Oh, no.
Stuck. I don't know.
Oh, no. Give him some Metamucil, man. Let that stuff suck it out of the dog.
Dog laxative or something? I don't know.
That sucks. That's awful.
So keep coming. 913-576-7610. Wednesday, June 8th, we're going to be sitting in the stands at the K to see the Royals take on the Blue Jays. If you want to sit with everyone from 610 Sports Radio, you just need to stop by one of the participating locations. Look for the Boulevard Wheat sign and the QR code that goes with it, and that'll get you signed up for a chance to win a pair of tickets to come hang out with us on June the 8th. You can stop by the Peanut, the Brass Rail, the High Dive Lounge, Nick and Jake's, the other place, just to name a few. Full list at 610sports.com. It's on the front page or in the contest section. You need to scan the QR code at the participating locations of that Boulevard Wheat sign, and you'll be entered to win a pair of tickets to see the Royals on June 8th. It's now through the 31st. You can get yourself signed up for that. We just may have a pair of tickets to give away to this a little bit later on in the show today.
Be listening.
I think it's going to be in the 9 o'clock hour.
Okay.
So be listening.
So yeah, stay tuned.
Must be 21 to enter and win. Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat, fresh look, same great taste. Again, what you've botched on the grill at 913-576-7610.
Have you had a big botch on the grill where you screwed something up totally and you just went out to dinner that night? For me, it was opening the can of Cincinnati style chili. That stuff sucked.
No, but I've had less grill. I do less grilling now. I'm more flat topping now.
Yeah.
And
so you're jack-harrying this thing up?
Sometimes you get a little too much on there. Like you're multitasking too much.
Yeah. Do you have the 22-inch or the 32-inch one?
No, the smaller
one.
I can't. Okay. And it's perfect.
It is perfect.
Because that
big
one, you're trying to take on too
much. You're doing the world,
yeah,
right?
You're, trying, to take, you're trying to take on too much. So it's the smaller one. I think it's probably 25, 26 inches, something like that. But it's not the massive one because, like, you get stuff going and you gotta work it.
All of a sudden, it starts to get, like, you can't catch up. Everything starts to cook at the same time.
So.
Are you doing stir fries on there yet?
Uh-huh.
Do you do the rice the night before? I heard you do the rice the night before, let it all drain out and get really dry, and then you throw
noodles.
It on there. Oh, that's a good call.
So
all right.
We'll boil the noodles and then flash fry them at the end.
I like that. That's a good idea. Okay. That's a good idea.
I don't do the full. I try to do the full, like, real one, like the Genghis Khan, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Genghis Khan down in, which is, I love that place.
One of our favorite places
and
to grab
where
lunch.
Where they take your bowl with everything and throw it on
throw
there.
Throw it on.
And it didn't,
throw that egg and on
tried
top.
That. And tried it.
Yeah, it just didn't work quite as well, just timing-wise or whatever. So it's you know, ingredients and
you
then
the big
the noodles.
Sticks.
No,
you
we don't.
You have
the
big
swords.
Meat sticks. You're doing whatever.
None of that?
No, so we did that one time, and it's like, okay, this
have
is
have you created an onion volcano?
No, not yet.
Oh, come on. What the hell are you doing? How long have you had this thing?
I know. I can't.
And you haven't done an onion volcano? Volcano yet?
No. Are you cheese steaking yet?
God.
Oh yeah. Cheese steaks and stir fry and the breakfast thing's fantastic on it.
So you're doing bacon and eggs.
Oh yeah.
Are you flipping shrimp to the kids at least or no?
Yeah.
With the green sauce.
Yeah.
Take some
kids
of that.
Call me Benihana now. Yeah.
How the hell can you not do the onion volcano yet? Like that seems like a big loss, doesn't it? A big swing and miss, B Dub.
Come on now.
Come on now, Josh.
Work on it.
At least cook the peppers and onions and bottle the smell for B Dub and I, since we can't get that at the ballpark this year.
No, I've not the onion volcanoed yet.
Need the peppers and onions.
There's
people.
Not. I cooked some onions yesterday as I was, you know, doing dinner. My wife went and bought like 18 zucchinis. I'm like, what did you want me to do with these things, right? She went to Costco and got zucchini. She goes, I don't know. I go, okay. So I just cooked them, you know, in some onion and olive oil and threw a can of, you know, crushed tomatoes on top. Call it a day. But when you get those onions going, is there a better smell in cooking than like just the beginning scent of onions and butter and olive oil? Like that is really. Probably, in my opinion, the best smell that you can have going in your kitchen. And everybody walks in, even if they don't like onions, like, man, what smells good? I'm like, it's just onions and olive oil, man.
Onions, garlic, olive oil, and butter. Let's go.
Oh, that is just a combination of great smells
Let's go.
Have you done that on the flat top? Mm.
Hey, chicken guy, at least your dog didn't eat about 5 pounds of a 10-pound pork butt you smoked all day that you left on the counter. So most of these stories are your dog ripped off your terrifically made made meal.
That stinks, man. Oh,
Bob,
so now you got to throw away the whole 10 pounds because you know where the dog.
You don't know where the dog been.
This comes from the 816. Where are you being told there's no peppers and onions at the K? Come see me. I know where to get them. I'm a food vendor there.
Okay, where at then? We got to know. Let us know where they are.
Where that's at.
Right, I've been out there. Circled the whole bottom loop.
I've circled the bottom. I've been out there 3 times for games so far this season. Me and my friend Britt went out there to a Thursday afternoon game. We did the loop. No peppers and onions.
None.
You were out there that same day, did a loop. No
did
peppers
loop.
And onions. I did a loop on a day game before. No peppers and onions. I can't find I can't even smell the peppers and onions.
There's
to
no
leave
smell.
Me. And I would be led by the smell of peppers and onions.
Yep. And don't tell me over there. Where they're serving those Chicago dogs.
No,
and all. I don't want that. I want peppers, onions, Sheboygan. Give it to me now.
Give me the brat on the grill, cooking in the peppers and onion. Not the grill, but the flat top like Josh
top,
has,
like,
the Jack Airy. We got to get that thing going out there, man, with the
that's
Jack Smack.
Onion Volcano.
And that's Onion Volcano.
That's peppers and onions smack. But you cook the brats in the peppers and onions, and you pick it all up at one time. And the grease from the peppers and onions and the brats is all melded into one. You stick it on a bun. Mm. Oh! Where is that at Kauffman Stadium?
Getting ready to go to Quick Trip real quick. I'll be back, fellas.
All right. After 1 year, according to reports, Drew Brees is out at NBC.
Mm-hmm. So they knew Jason Witten is Drew Brees.
I guess so. That he wanted to do games. They only had a studio spot. They didn't have any game spots for him. And then he reportedly is now out.
Well, they let him do that one game, and it wasn't that good, if I remember.
No,
right?
He was not very good in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Which does put a little question into, you're really going to give Tom Brady $375 million without knowing?
You just don't know if he's going to be any good at this thing, you know?
Do they have a series of – you always got to find out how the contracts are structured, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's like an out after every single
year. Or
maybe
it's not like a baseball contract where it's guaranteed, right?
Yeah, guaranteed, I don't know. Yeah. But if there's something to give, you know, it's going to work – for Brady pause, it might be Drew Brees. Although I think Tom Brady has an immensely better personality than Drew Brees. I always thought Drew Brees kind of bland.
Maybe.
Nice guy, whatever. A good quarterback, nice guy, but not, I don't know. I never was going to resonate. I don't think I'd tune into a game for Drew Brees.
I think the problem in sports broadcasting right now, especially these NFL games, is that you're putting people on there that everybody's heard of, but that doesn't mean they're any good. That doesn't mean they're really good at their job. You and I would be really good on an NFL game, but nobody knows who we are, so we'd never have the opportunity to do it.
No chance.
We would be better than Drew Brees. We would be better than Tom Brady. I don't know that we'd be better than Tony Romo. I'm not willing to put myself into that category, but we'd definitely be better than Solomon Wilcots. I mean, you know, so
we'd have fun.
We'd have fun. Yeah, it would be a fun game. They should give us the opportunity to do a game, everyone. Maybe Mitch will take a day off, and you and I and Dane can take the day off as well, and then we can have the game to ourselves and see what we can do. It would be a lot of fun, but nobody would know who we are.
That's stuff for the plus.
Right. That's 610
plus.
That's
610 plus.
Yes. Yeah. That's on the 610 plus app, but I would listen to that. But that to me is the biggest problem that we're facing right now, is these networks are so starved to grab people that are names, but names don't always equal greatness. And Jason Witten was a name coming out. He's stunk. Obviously, Drew Brees was a name coming out. He stunk. The truth is going to be seen about Tom Brady real fast, you know, when he gets behind a mic and starts calling games for Fox in the next couple of years. It's not as easy a job either as guys probably think it is. I mean, God love Tom Brady and what he's accomplished in his football career, but he thinks he's just going to slide into a game and do a broadcast and not do the prep work and all that stuff that is required during the week. He's going to be exposed right away on national television. I think that's why guys like Chris Collinsworth and Tony Romo, I think that's why they're really good at what they do, because they do put in that prep work. Collinsworth was talking last week. He goes, I start preparing for the next game when I'm flying home from the one that I just left. So there is a lot of time and a lot of work that goes in to being good on television. And the ones that are so good on television, you don't even recognize how much work they're putting in. And the reason they are so good is because all of the prep work and all the time that they put in before the broadcast that elevates them and takes them to that next level. So Tom Brady's going to have to put in the work. And if he doesn't want to put in that work to really be good at this, then Fox is just throwing all kinds of money away right now. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.